what makes the Pista Sophia so important is, in our opinion, it puts it all together. We have a teaching here that is not anti-Semitic, but philo-Semitic. It accepts the God of the Old Testament. It accepts the great traditions of the prophets. It expands upon that. It also brings into the picture Jesus' use of female disciples, which is very unusual looking at the history of Western Christianity. The importance of the female figure, Mary Magdalene, is being talked about in some of the more popular novels on the marketplace. But here we have a real dialogue of teaching where Jesus allows his disciples to teach with him. And in the context of his risen body, we would say this in the context of a whole new scientific specter of a body of light as opposed to a body of flesh. The risen Christ brings forth the mysteries of the kingdom and a new cosmology of the universe. And so there's a heavy scientific part here which I feel can build a bridge between a new understanding of ancient Christianity and the world of speculative science.
All right, now let's talk a little bit about some of the writings here, and over what period of time would they have tracked the life of Jesus? How many years are we talking about?
Well, the very beginning of the Pista Sophia, literally the very first sentence, says, when it occurred after Jesus had risen from the dead, he spent 11 years in discourse with his disciples. So they're talking about literally the first 11 years after the resurrection. And, of course, some of these scrolls are written more like 100 or 200 years. Nakamadi, they've been dating in terms of the papyrus being 300 A.D., but they believe these all go back to a very earlier time. And so it's always, you know, one can be skeptical about who wrote this, why was it written, is it all legend, is it real?
Mm-hmm.
But going back again to Mary Magdalene, the text itself of the Pista Sophia has her talking 83 times in the entire text, where Mother Mary only talks 5 times and John talks 9 times. So you have, and even Peter 5 times. So you have so much more dialogue with Mary Magdalene in there than anyone else. It shows her importance, which only recently has been brought again to the fore.
I was going to say that to have 80 plus references, somebody somewhere who included a lot of this must have felt that she was pretty important at the time.
Exactly, and that's what's so critical here. And I agree with some of the modern books going out that talk about the fact that she probably wasn't a prostitute. This is maybe something that they brought up after the fact to try to get rid of her, because the whole Gnostic process also talks about the fact of people being much more into power games,
mm-hmm.
and that people have to realize. In fact, right in the text itself, it says how Peter really did not respect her, and that there was this complaint going on between her and Peter,
mm-hmm.
that Peter not respecting her, and Peter saying, well, you know, she's talking all the time, she's not giving us any chance. This is actually right in the dialogue of the Pista Sophia.
Now, when you talk about that Christ basically stayed with his apostles for 11 years after the resurrection and his disciples, 11 years, I mean, did anybody else witness him with them, or are we talking about with them 11 years spiritually?
Well, we tend to look at this in terms of spiritual metaphor. If you look at the end of Luke's gospel, we are told that Jesus appeared to the men on the way to Emmaus who did not recognize him. Certainly after the resurrection event, claims were made by followers to have seen him in a transphysical form of light. Here in a unique historic text, we have great details being given by both male and female disciples who witness what I will prefer to call the cosmic Christ rather than the historic Jesus, one who was able to manifest himself in all of his power and glory and teach in incredible depth things that are not found in the four Gospels. Now, most Orthodox theologians would simply dismiss this as one of those pseudepigrapha, one of the false writings that has absolutely no historic parameters. However, if we look at the depth of scholarship and just the nuances of terminology that we're going to cover in this conversation, it's very, very clear that as early as the end of the first century and as late as the end of the third century, there were sizable groups in Egypt that collected the teachings of Christ and claimed that they received these teachings from a transcendental Christ, one who was in the body of glory.